pray. I'm thankful for the opportunity. We're going to begin in Romans chapter 12 tonight. Romans chapter 12. Again, praying what the Lord would have me to preach. And when you think about it, Pastor's gone through so many books just since I've been here in a year. It's like, what do you preach on that he hasn't already preached on? Right? But this is what the Lord burdened my heart with, and amen, we're going to preach from Romans chapter 12. Have you ever become fervent in something? Just extremely, just focused on it, right? And all you could think about was that one thing. I remember it was actually when we were traveling with the quartet, we were driving through Denver, and we happened to go through Denver, Colorado it was rush hour apparently, and I was driving, and it was crazy traffic. I've driven through Washington, D.C., and places like that, and it was nothing like this. And I think we were all tired. We'd been riding all day. Maybe we'd just eaten, so we're even more tired, right? But I remember I would just got in the zone, right? There was cars everywhere, and it's like, I just have to get out of here safely. And I was driving, and I kind of like way back in my mind, I heard Caleb, and I thought it didn't register. And I guess for several times, they had been calling me Caleb to make sure I was okay. I was so fervent in driving, so focused that I didn't even realize that anybody was talking to me. I don't know if you've ever been like that before, but sometimes we get fervent about things, do we not? We think, this is important in my life, and we're going to pursue after it. But tonight, I would like to show you that we must be fervent in spirit for the Lord tonight, and that's what we're going to look at in Romans chapter 12. Begin reading here in verse number 10. Paul here is writing to the Romans. He just has told them some about the spiritual gifts, right? We've looked at this before. But as we get to verse 10 here, I believe the Lord has something for us here. Verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much just for who you are. Lord, I thank you that you do choose to use us. And I pray that you'd help us to allow us to make every second count, Father, and just in serving you and doing the work for you. And I pray that you would just open our hearts tonight. Thank you for working in my heart. I pray that you continue to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we see this word fervent here, right, this evening. This word fervent, you say, what does it mean, right? Maybe we use it, we really don't use it that much, the word fervent, but it means to have an intense feeling or enthusiasm for something, right? An intense feeling or enthusiasm for something. In high school, I liked chainsaws, and I liked Husqvarna chainsaws specifically, and I was very fervent about those things, right? Anything I had intense enthusiasm for, didn't matter what it was, if I saw one, I got excited about it. Right, but sometimes I think in our lives we forget to be that way towards the things of God. And tonight I want to show you we must become fervent towards the things of God. We must become fervent towards the things of God. All right. So what are we to be fervent about? What is Paul here saying in verse? Let's see here. In verse 12, it says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." If we look at this verse throughout Scripture, or if we look at this word, fervent, we find it's written throughout other parts of the New Testament, okay? And we're going to look at one of the first things that it says, and maybe you think of this verse, but in James chapter 5, James chapter 5, we find that it's important for us to be fervent in our prayers, fervent in our prayers. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You know, if we had somebody here that was sick tonight and we began praying for them, we would pray and they were healed, we would say that's a very fervent prayer, would we not? That it was very serious, it's a deep feeling, right, of enthusiasm perhaps, or just an intense feeling of fervor, right? This person needs something, right? They need to be healed, and we begin to pray feverishly. But how many times in our lives do we not pray fervently, right? We become casual, perhaps. I oftentimes do this, right? There's words that I say, the things that we say, it just comes naturally, right? And we lose our fervency for the Lord in our prayers. I'm going to read you here Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. This is Paul speaking of someone that he knew here. It says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So Paul here kind of, he shouts out to this guy, here's someone who's praying fervently for you, right? And can you imagine somebody praying fervently for you in your life, right? I think of my mom, she always prayed fervently for me, right? Feverishly. If there was something going on in my life, she was going to pray for me, right? And in that area. And there's many people who do that as well still. And I'm thankful for those prayers. But who are you praying for fervently? Who are you praying for fervently? Lord, help this person in this way. You know, I was thinking as I was praying and working on this message, I was thinking when Mr. Hoagland, we found out he was going to pass away soon. You remember as a church, we got together and we prayed, right? Yeah. Sunday school, Sunday morning, we were just praying. Alex was going out in the week and driving, and he was talking about how he's praying for Alex or praying for Mr. Hoagland. We prayed feverishly for him. And what did we find? God saved him, did he not? Right? God worked in his heart. When we begin to pray fervently, when we begin to pray with just a passion, right? Not just some words, Lord, thank you for this food, you know, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? How many times do we pray like that? Or we pray, you know, pray for so-and-so and so-and-so. But when do we pray believing? Right? Fervently, passionately for the Lord. Turn to Matthew chapter 21 here. The Lord is teaching his disciples how to pray in this passage and how to see great things from the Lord, which I think is something that, as Christians, is something that we desire. Chapter 21. Let's see here. We'll begin reading. Well, we know the story of the fig tree. Well, let's read it here quickly. Verse 18, it says, "And in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." How many times do we pray to the Lord believing? Right? Sometimes I think, well, you know what? We need to be praying for this person because this person needs prayer, right? And we pray, but do we really believe that we're going to see results? I oftentimes pray and think, well, I'm just praying because it's what I'm supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. But when's the last time you prayed fervently for someone? Yeah. I mean, just passionately poured out your heart to the Lord. Lord, help this person or help this thing, this situation. Pray fervently, right? Sometimes we become complacent in how we pray, and I think we ought not to, right? According to God, can you imagine moving a mountain into an ocean just because we believe, right? Mm-hmm. God wants us to pray to him, but he wants us to pray fervently, believing, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's what Paul here is saying. Continuing instant in prayer. We're to constantly be praying for other people, right? Praying for things in our lives, but praying believing, right? Not just reading off a list, but praying fervently. When's the last time you fervently prayed for your neighbor? When's the last time you fervently prayed for that soul that you've been witnessing to, right? And it just seems like you're hitting a wall, perhaps. When's the last time you fervently prayed for them? Fervently prayed for something in their life. You know, when's the last time you prayed for your church or a ministry that you're involved in? The Lord wants us to pray, right? And pray fervently. Just pour out our hearts to the Lord. All right, so we see that we're to be fervent in our prayers, all right? We find that used throughout the New Testament here. But secondly, we're to be fervent in our love for others. And I think this is all wrapped up around this verse. If you look at verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." And then it says, "Be slothful." Are not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We're to care and to love and be fervent in that to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? That's how we would see this scripture here. If we look at, let's see here. Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 1. I turn over here. You know, Peter had a way of just cutting to the chase, right? He just liked to say it how it was. And I find it interesting here that two times the word fervent is used in the New Testament is here in 1 Peter, right? And if you just hear Peter saying, fervently do this, right? 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, what we're going to look at here, it says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love," or basically sincere love of the brethren, "see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." right? He says, hey, your brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be loving them fervently, right? You need to care about them a lot. Turn over just a couple pages here to chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 8. Verse 8 says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. You think Peter's trying to say something here? Right? We need to fervently have a love for each other. Right? And I'm not, it would be strange if we walked in and Art and I were hugging and saying we loved each other. Hello, good to see you. That's not what, I don't think, that, well, I know this is not what Peter's talking about this evening, right? But we should have a care for each other that nobody else has. Right? I think sometimes we can become callous to the needs of others that are around us. Right? I know sometimes maybe I'm praying for someone or something's going on and I see them going through a trial or something hard and I think, boy, I know what caused that. And that's about time they got it back. Right? And that's completely wrong. Right? That might be how I feel, but it's not how it should be. We should have a love for others. We should be ready to come alongside and encourage them, help them in those times and in those areas. Right? You know, if I would have gotten up tonight, hopefully I don't, but if I had something hanging out of my nose, hopefully Alyssa would tell me, right? Because she loves me. She cares about me. Hopefully any of you would tell me, right? But it would be wrong for us not to. Sometimes we have to come alongside someone and encourage them in the Lord. You know, maybe we could do this better here, right? But also, if it is hanging out or whatever, she would be like, here, let me help you with it. Right? You've gone all day with it that way. Let's fix it, right? But, y'all, it's okay. I'm sure nobody noticed. I'm sure is what she would say, right? But oftentimes in our Christian lives and the Christians that are around us, we think, well, it's just part of their life, right? They just have to survive this. But no, we're to come alongside and encourage and help them. We're to love them. Not just to care about them, not just to pray about them, but fervently love them, Peter says, right? And it says even when we have something against each other, and to have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins, right? Have you ever said somebody, I don't think any of us are like this, but well, they didn't talk to me this morning, so I don't need to talk to them anymore, right? And I'm not saying that we're like this. I'm preaching to the choir, I know. But just in that simple way, we need to love each other, right? A love covers a multitude of sins. It truly does. And it's amazing what love can do. And we could look throughout the rest of Scripture, and Christ is pretty strong about charity, is he not? And our love for others. So are you loving the people around you? You know, I think of Christ and the disciples tonight. When you think about all the things that the disciples did against him, right? When Peter said Elijah and Moses, when they came down, he says, well, that's practically equal to Jesus, right? Let's build them all a temple. Wouldn't that hurt if you were the Lord? Right? And we could look at many other places where disciples doubted him, right? They had questions about who he really was, yet Christ loved them unconditionally, did he not? And how much more should we be loving those that are around us, right? The brethren that are around us. Are you fervent in your love for others? All right, so then we're going to jump back here to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring yourselves. We're to love each other. We're not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. No matter what we're going through in our lives, if we're praying to the Lord, if we're going through a trial, we're to be fervent in it. But lastly, I want to see tonight that we're to be fervent in spirit, just in general, right? We're to be fervent in spirit. I don't know about you, but oftentimes at work, I can become fervent about something. Right? This is something, I have a job perhaps, I'm like, I have to get this job done. It's all I can think about, all I can focus on. I go home at night, maybe it's a problem, I go home at night and sleep, and when I wake up, I think, what could be wrong with that? Right? And I have to go diagnose it and figure out what it is in my head, I'm constantly thinking about it. But when's the last time we were fervent for the Lord, fervent in spirit, the same way? When's the last time we just simply focused on the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then we're fervent about it. Right? Just all in, enthusiastic, an intense feeling or enthusiasm. Right? Just excited to go about it, a fervency for the Lord. God wants us to be busy for him. Amen. He wants our minds to be in a constant state of prayer and love for others. And I think really this verse right below it, right below verse 11, rejoicing in the hope. When we take our eyes off of all those else that are around us, right? If we take our minds off of those people, if we're praying, all these different things, maybe we're going through trials in our lives, but we begin rejoicing in the hope of our Lord, right? He saved us, right? He's done so much for us. Immediately, we become fervent in spirit, do we not? I was teaching in clean class, we're going through the life of Jesus Christ a little bit, and we were talking about how he raised from the dead. Some people would call our religion boring, right? Or they'd say, you know, religion is boring or the Bible's boring. But who else gets to serve and talk about a God who raised from the dead, right? Pretty amazing. But to think that all that Christ has done for me and all that Christ has done for you, when we begin rejoicing in the hope of his salvation, right? Rejoicing in the hope that he's coming back one day to get us, right? Rejoicing in the hope of heaven, we will become fervent in spirit. What can I do right now? Right? Not become complacent, not just go through the motions of life, but become fervency. Just become fervent for the Lord. When we take our eyes off of others and ourselves and rejoice in the hope that God has given us. You know, my question for you tonight, do you have an intense feeling of enthusiasm towards God's work? Whatever it is that God has for you. You know, maybe it's Art. He's greeting people as they come in the door, or Alex as he's helping people at recovery, or Pastor as he's encouraging someone, or whatever your job is in the church. You know, whatever God wants you to do, or whatever you can help with, are you doing it fervently? I mean, just excited about it, right? There's no reason to just go through the motions of it, but are we excited to go forward for the Lord? Are we fervent in what he has for us? God wants us to be fervent. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So many times it gets, as Christians, especially since I grew up in a Christian home, it's just what we do, right? You just go to church Sunday morning, or you just go to church. Every time the door's open, you just go to church. It's just what you do. And I say all this, I'm not saying that rest isn't important, because God does talk about rest, okay? But I'm saying we should be fervent for the Lord no matter what, right? We can become complacent, we can become lazy. Instead, we need to become just fervent for the Lord. Just intensely focused, even some enthusiasm, an intense feeling or enthusiasm for something. Something is the Lord. The Lord wants us to be fervent for him. You know, when it comes to the work of God, are you lethargic? Are you lazy? Are you sometimes just comfy or right where you're at, right? Complacent? You know, we don't want to be slothful in God's business tonight. Let's just be fervent for him. This week, when we go out tonight, let's just think of how can I be fervent for the Lord, right? What is it that God wants me to do, and how can I do it fervently? Just excited. How can I have a little bit of enthusiasm for what God has done for me? Because when we begin rejoicing in his hope, when we're praying for others, when we're praying for big things in our lives, when we're fervent for our love for others, when we see needs perhaps around in the church and try to go after it, mostly, though, are we fervent in the spirit? Is our spirit fervent for the Lord? Just whatever he is, we're there, right? I think even as Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me, right? Like, pick me, Lord, over here, that's me, right? Let's go. We need to be fervent for the Lord. What is it that you're fervent about tonight? Is it your job? Is it maybe it's something at home? Is it whatever it is, it should be centered around the Lord. It should be centered. Our fervency should be centered around God and what he has for us. Are you fervent tonight? Where's your heart at? Are you fervent for the Lord? Father, I thank you so much. Just again, for who you are, and I thank you, and I pray that you'd help us to be fervent tonight for you. Lord, fervent in the things of you, and just every part of our lives, we would be fervent, focused on you. And we'll just thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Caleb.